Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship tonight, Ash Wednesday, 2012. 2013. I just got a year older. Wow. Time goes fast. Lent is a time to grow closer to God. They've got all kinds of books on Lent. But you can boil it down to being Lent is a time to draw close to God. Through the rest of the year, it's easy to fall away, to fall into behavior patterns, to think different ways. Lent is a time to focus on how loved we are by God. It's also a time to keep your eyes on Jesus. It's easy to fall away and to chase this dream and that dream and get involved in this and get involved in that and get dragged away, and pretty soon you're heading in different directions. And Lent is a time to keep your eyes on Jesus. So that's going to be the theme every Sunday and every Wednesday. This year, a couple of our Bible studies have looked at a book by Rob Bell called Love Wins. And Rob Bell has put out some DVDs with 10 or 11 minute snippets. And so Joni's going to show us how to use this wonderful machine up here, aren't you? And these snippets on life are going to challenge us in the way we think. Rob Bell is he's an evangelical free pastor who understands the scripture, and he's challenged me in my faith and helped me a lot. And I think he'll help you too. So come on Wednesday nights and we'll do the Holden evening prayer before, as we work our way through the season of Lent. So I think you'll find deep meaning in that. All are welcome to come to the table of the Lord tonight. So please avail yourself of that. These 40 days of Lent, not including Sundays, are symbolic of Jesus' 40 days fasting and praying in the wilderness where he was tempted by the evil one. That's where he grew close to God, and so we are invited to do that as well. Let's begin our worship with a prayer. O Lord, your Son journeyed in the wilderness and stood the tests that were set before him. We pray that we might journey each one through our wildernesses. We pray that we might stand the test. Help us to draw close to you tonight, Ash Wednesday, as we begin another season of Lent. Help us to find strength in you and to keep our eyes focused on your Son Jesus this Lent. Thank you, Lord, for calling us into your family, and thank you for loving us so much that you would send your Son as a sacrifice for our sin. So speak to us tonight and walk with us these days. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is 324. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
Please turn your bulletins to the greeting. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and honest hearts, so that truly repenting of our sins, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, full pardon and forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson this evening comes from the second chapter of the book of Joel. Because of the coming day of the Lord, the prophet Joel calls the people to a community lament. The repentant community reminds God of his gracious character and asks God to spare the people, lest the nations doubt God's power to save. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. And even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Word of God, word of life. Our psalm this evening is Psalm 51. Let's read it responsively. The refrain is, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my wickedness. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Let me teach your ways to offenders, and sinners shall be restored to you.
Rescue me from bloodshed, O God, of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. The sacrifice of God is a troubled spirit, a troubled and broken heart, O God, you will not despise.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel lesson comes from the 6th chapter of St. Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus commends almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, but emphasizes that spiritual devotion must not be done for show. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's an old story, but it bears repeating. An armed robber accosted a Frenchman in the dark on the back streets of Paris, demanded his wallet, and as the priest opened his, as he opened his coat to reach for his wallet, the thief saw the clerical collar. And immediately he apologized. He says, "Never mind, Father." He says, "I didn't realize you were a priest. I'll be on my way." The priest was relieved, of course, and good-naturedly he offered him a cigar that he had in his pocket. And the thief says, "No, thank you, Father. I gave up smoking for Lent." One of the hallowed traditions of Lent is that we should give up something, something we enjoy, for the duration of this holy season, the season of Lent, huh? Usually it means something like chocolate or beer or some other alleged vice that we might carry. This, of course, has opened up a multitude of jokes. One civic-minded individual said that he gave up taxes for Lent. Another said that he had given up his New Year's resolutions for Lent. Stephen Colbert, a comedian on TV, who I understand is a Sunday school teacher in his Catholic church, said he was giving up being Catholic for Lent. People laugh at the idea of giving up things for Lent, but the idea originally was to share experientially with Christ, with the sufferings of Christ, huh? Christ gave his life for us. Can we do something for him? That's the thinking. We had to give up something to show our devotion for him, is the thinking. However, even under the best of circumstances, this problem, practice has never worked out very well. A serious response to this idea, making sacrifice during Lent, has been for many Christians to fast during Lent. Medical experts are divided on whether fasting works or whether it doesn't. So, according to John Maxwell in his book Partners in Prayer, he says that fasting played a major role in the Great Awakening in America back in the 1900s or the 1800s. This is what he wrote. He said, John Wesley, father of the Methodist movement, and his brother Charles and other fellow believers regularly fasted and prayed. John Wesley so believed in this practice that he urged early Methodists to fast and pray every Wednesday and Friday. He felt so strongly about fasting those 2 days a week that he refused to ordain anyone in Methodism who wouldn't agree to it. I suspect there are some Methodist pastors that are glad that those days are gone. But many people have benefited from this practice. But even a good thing like fasting can be abused. In our lesson, our gospel lesson today, we hear the Lord say, when you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces. They show others how bad they're, how much they're going through. Jesus says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it won't be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who's unseen. And your Father who sees what has been done in secret will reward you. Jesus isn't saying don't fast. In fact, it appears like he's saying when you fast, that fasting is something that we should be practicing. He even gives directions when you fast, huh? Pour oil on your face, wash your head, huh? In other words, fasting is good for us, but not if you're out there to show your religiosity. How much will you have? I've always appreciated the words from one of the church fathers, St. John of Chrysostom. This is what he said when it comes to fasting. He says, do you fast? Give me proof of it by your works. If you see a poor man, take pity on him. If you see a friend being honored, do not envy him. Do not let only your mouth fast, but also the eye and the ear and the feet and the hands and all the members of our bodies. Let the hands fast by being free of avarice. Let the feet fast by ceasing to run after sin. Let the eyes fast by disciplining them not to glare at that which is sinful. Let the ear fast by not listening to evil talk and gossip. Let the mouth fast from foul words and unjust criticism. For what good is it if we abstain from birds and fishes, but bite and devour our brothers? That's hitting the nail on the head, I think. Chrysostom was right. Even a good thing like fasting can be bad some days. As I said at the beginning of the service, the central purpose of Lent is to bring us back to God. That's the message from our lessons tonight. They want us to draw close to God. If fasting or making a small personal sacrifice brings you closer to God, then all the reason to do it. But it's important not to lose sight of why we fast or why we make personal sacrifices. St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The point of Ash Wednesday, the point of Lent, is that we would all be reconciled with God. We will be brought back into the presence of God and made right with God. We who have wandered away and done our own thing. We may indicate our desire for reconciliation by fasting, giving something up, or by making a sacrifice on behalf of someone else. But that's all peripheral. That's not that important. We're here tonight confessing our need to come back to God. That's what is done on Ash Wednesday. To say we need to be reconciled to God, of course, is to confess that all of us, to some degree, are estranged from God. We're separated from God. We've done some things that we're not so proud of, or maybe are not right in His kingdom. As I thought about this whole situation, there are some members of this congregation who live very close to God. I'm in awe of your spiritual commitment. But let's not kid ourselves. None of us is perfect. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short, and there are gaps in our lives. There are emotions that will not heal. There are resentments that we carry that still fester in some of us. There are prejudices that come to the surface under stress. In a sense, we're like snowflakes. I just read about snowflakes in the magazine The Week. Does anyone here get The Week? Oh, one person. All right. They said that in every snowflake, as beautiful and clean and each one is different, as different as they are, but as beautiful and clean, at the heart of each snowflake is a piece of dust, a speck of dust, a speck of dirt. And so do we. We're like that speck of dust in each one of us. There's something there. We're all sinners. There are gaps in our lives. And that's why Ash Wednesday and Lent are so important to us. They help us to deal with that tiny particle of dust that might be living in each one of us that keeps us from perfectly reflecting Christ's image. There's a young man in Wisconsin named John. John was kind of scary. A pastor friend of mine was telling me about him. He was a member of his congregation. He was in his early 20s. He was very active in MMA, mixed martial arts. He liked to fight. And one day his family went to a church event, a community picnic. It was held, led by the church in the city park. The pastor of that church started talking with John because he was there with his family and invited him to church. And John didn't seem very interested, but lo and behold, a few months later, one day John showed up for church and he was accompanied by his 3-year-old son. And something happened to John in church that Sunday, something that was quite beautiful. The Word of God took a hold in John's heart. And he went to church some more and he took some instructional classes. And finally he joined the church. And one Sunday John walked into church late. This pastor friend was telling me, really late, almost at sermon time. Almost like some of you. And after the service, the pastor asked him why he was so late, John. John said he got up that morning, his car wouldn't start, and he tried to fix it, and it still wouldn't start. So he got his boy, put the boy on his bike seat, and rode his 10-speed bike all the way on. And it was like a March Sunday, so it was cold and kind of wet and rainy out. But he pedaled 5 miles in that freezing Wisconsin temperatures because nothing was going to stop him from being in worship and saying thank you to God. I've seen things like that happen in people's lives. John had something missing in his life. He couldn't put himself back together, but God did. Now, John isn't perfect, but he's growing. He's growing in the same way that you and I hope to grow this evening as we begin another season of Lent. And so tonight I'm going to invite you to ask God again to come more completely into your lives, to fill your lives with his love and with his joy and with his peace and with his hope. Of course, if we are reconciled with God, we shall all the more be reconciled with one another. We will get along with one another. Reconciliation with our neighbors always goes with reconciliation with God. There's a fellow, Anthony Robinson, who wrote a book called What's Theology Got to Do with It? He tells a story of a Palestinian Christian named Elias Shakur. Pat Becker might have told some of you about Elias Shakur. Shakur is a Catholic priest. He was tired of presiding at communion in his congregation. The reason was he's a priest in Jerusalem, and he had all factions with all kinds of political parties and political perspectives and people that some people who hadn't talked to each other, some for decades, families that never got along. He got tired of it. He decided he was going to close the doors of the church, and he announced that he had no intention of presiding over the church service or the sacrament or unlocking the doors until some of these people confessed their sins, offered forgiveness and made peace with one another. Because if you can't get along in church, you're just making a mockery of the whole thing. And what followed after he announced to his full church that that was what was going to happen, they sat in stunned silence. And it was nothing short of remarkable. A policeman was the first one to get to his feet and confess his misdeeds and ask for forgiveness. And others followed. And when the Lord's Supper was finally celebrated, it was no longer a mockery, because people understood that they had all fallen short and they all needed to come clean. And at the table of the Lord was where it was done. That's where we should be this Lent, 2013. That's where I hope you and I will go. So we have a beginning. We're all invited. Let's draw close to the Lord tonight. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to receive our evening offering. And let's join in singing the indicated hymn 335. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse. Rise, let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends in Christ, today with the whole church, we enter the time of remembering Jesus' Passover from death to life, and our life in Christ is renewed. We begin this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance, for God's mercy. We are created to experience joy and communion with God, to love one another, and to live in harmony with creation. But our sinful rebellion separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation, so that we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended.
As disciples of Jesus, we are called to a discipline that contends against evil and resists whatever leads us away from the love of God and neighbor. I invite you, therefore, to the discipline of Lent, self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, sacrificial giving and works of love, strengthened by the gifts of word and sacrament. Let us continue our journey through these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another, and before the whole company of heaven, that we have sinned by our fault, by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven.
Have mercy on us, O God.
We have shut our ears to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our past unfaithfulness, the pride, envy, hypocrisy, and apathy that have infected our lives, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us,
our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us, we confess to you.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us.
Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great.
Returning to the Lord with all our heart, let us pray for the whole people of God, the earth, and all who cry out for healing. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For Christians around the world assembled at the beginning of the Lenten fast, for greater understanding among the religions of the world, and for faith to recognize Christ as life's true treasure, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For faithful leaders who call us to compassion for the poor, and for all facing affliction, imprisonment, unemployment, hunger, and sleepless nights, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For the well-being of all creation, for earth's ecosystems, for plants and animals, for rocks and soil, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For the health of our communities, for an end to injustice, oppression, poverty, and homelessness, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For this assembly, for a deeper awareness of our mortality, and for all who live with illness, addiction, loss, or anxiety, especially those who we remember in our hearts before you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reconcile us to one another, and to you, gracious God, until we join all your holy ones in life everlasting, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hear us according to your steadfast love, O God, and in your great compassion, bring us to resurrection and rebirth in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed in Holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The table is set. All are welcome. There's grape juice in the middle of our trays and wine. We have gluten-free bread and regular bread. Just ask the server. We'll begin with this side and we'll follow with this side. Table is set. Come eat and drink. The congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the concluding prayer on page 9. Let us pray. Merciful God, accompany our journey through these 40 days. Renew us in the gift of baptism, that we may provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Let's sing the first and last verse of God Be With You Till We Meet Again, 536.
God be with you till we meet again.